Start. We're continuing in Mishlei Perek Yud Aleph, but again, this is a collection of individual psukim. So I'm going to say what kind of almost one pasuk at a time, and they're all very different messages. Pasuk Chaf Gimel is Tavat Tzadikim Achtov, that the desire of the tzaddik is altogether good. Tikvat Rishaim Evra, but the hope of the wicked is anger, fury. Let's see.
See anger from
Evra,
that. Avera is
not
anger.
Avera, but no, Evra meaning anger here. It's Evra, it's
Yeah.
wrath.
Oh, wrath. Okay.
Okay, I mean, if you remember in the Seder, we quote that in the part that nobody ever reads about the that at the Makos were 10, so that at the sea they had 40 or they had 50 times as many. And the puzzle they quote is in Tehillim, it's Evra Zam Mishlachat Ma'acheraim.
No.
Wrath, anger, and the evil and bad angels. Okay, the word Evra, not Avera. Obviously, it sounds, looks like Avera, but it's not. We're comparing the Tzaddik and the Rasha, which is a constant theme in this part of Mishlei. Ibn Ezra says this about the Ta'avat, the desire of the Tzaddik is Ach. And it says Ach is Mama'et. It comes to limit. Meaning the desire of the tzaddik is only for good. Right? Ach mamay kol tevot levad tevat maaseh tov. The tzaddik is someone who doesn't want anything just to do good. Rishim yikavu lasot evra. So here is reading it as the Rishim want to create more anger. But Tam, and meaning what that mean is lit aver b'acharim, to incite others to anger, to annoy other people. That's their pleasure. Midat akas she tavor al midat, and that the idea of anger, that she tavor al midat, extreme anger, the tikra erva. That's what he says, what erva means. That's why the JPS translates as wrath. Not just getting angry, but furious. And the Medrash cites this as well. Amar Rabbi Tavui, Rabbi Elazar, well, kol tavat hatzadikim in a El Eina Ela Shiyu Oskim BaTorah, right? What the tzaddikim want is Ach Tov, only good. They want to be doing learning Torah and doing mitzvot. It says Tavat Tzaddikim Ach Tov. Ach is a mute, it limits. They're Shematim B'Tzorchei Olam. They limit what they want out of the real world and the outside world. Ve'em Mitaskim El BaTorah Shenikra Tov, and they're just doing. They are just interested in learning Torah, which is what Tov is. That's what's good. Okay. But I think also the word Ach doesn't mean honestly only, but it means, I think in this case, that Ach Tov means the ultimate good. To be a tzaddik means you've got your eye on the ball. What's the ultimate good, ultimate goal? As the Rambam says about Yimot Mashiach, Lo nitavu chachamim v'nim Yimot Mashiach, that the chachamim, we didn't really want Mashiach to come. That wasn't the goal, wasn't Mashiach. Lokdeshi used to Al Kolam, because they didn't want to rule over the world. It wasn't a political thing. Lokdeshi Yerduba Akum, and not so they could lord over the non-Jews. Lokdeshi Nasu'o Mamim, not to be, they should have leadership. That's not what we're looking for in Mashiach. Lokdeshi Ochel Lishto Samoach, and not so they could eat, drink, and be merry. Ela kadeshiyu panuyim b'toro chachma. The whole reason that we're looking for the geula is so we have time to do mitzvot. Right now we're busy dealing with other things. The world's a dangerous place. I can't be calm and serving Hashem, but my desire, the ta'ava, is should be the ultimate good. I want peace in the world so that I can serve Hashem. There should be no one oppressing them, and no one keeping them from doing it. So the ultimate goal is Olam Haba. Mashiach is not, it is in fact a political state in the Rambam's view. Nothing miraculous. But the reason why we'd want it is not in order to have your own country be rich. The Tsarist nation isn't like the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to serve Hashem. And so that he said that Tavat Tzadikim is Ach Tov, the Tzadik only wants good things. But there's another idea about the nature of Tava. desire. What does it mean to want something? And so that when he says that Tikvat Rishayim Erva, that the, as Ibn Ezra said, Russia wants to create wrath. I don't know that that's really how to translate it, right? That Russia doesn't want wrath. People don't want to make other people angry. They want good for themselves. They want stuff. But we talked about René Girard. Remember talking about René Girard, Belgian sociological philosopher, and the fact that we're all social primates. We care about what other people care about. Our desires are formed by what we observe others desiring. And that, he says, is what leads to the conflict. And I'll quote, this is the Internet Encyclopedia of Philosophy, that Girard's fundamental concept is mimetic desire. I mentioned before.
What's mimetic?
Mimetic means here, we can define it, learn by imitation.
Oh, okay.
So memetic with an E, M-E-M-E, it has to do with memes and ideas that get spread from one to a person. Mimetic means imitation. Chaim Soloveitchik talks about that in Rupture and Reconstruction, that traditionally you learn Jewish law by mimesis, by imitating. You see what your parents did, that's what you do. But as ever, we've all, with the Holocaust and the moving Jewish population around, we've lost it. Now we'll get it out of books, which makes it a lot stricter. Ever since, he puts it here, ever since Plato, students of human nature have highlighted the great mimetic capacity of human beings. We imitate. It's the basic mechanism of learning, and we learn in as much as we imitate what our teachers do. However, according to Girard, most thinking devoted to imitation pays little attention to the fact we also imitate other people's desires. And depending on how this happens, it may lead to conflict and rivalry. If people imitate each other's desires, they may end up desiring this very same thing. And if you desire the same thing, they may easily become rivals as they reach for the same objects. So I want what you want, therefore we want the same thing, therefore we're in conflict. So it leads to rivalry and violence. In his psychology, imitation erases the differences between human beings, and as much as people come similar to each other, they all desire the same thing, which leads to rivalries and a Hobbesian war of all against all. Remember our Thomas Hobbes, and life in the state of nature is nasty, brutish, and short. These rivalries soon bear the potential to threaten the very existence of communities. Thus, Girard asked, how is it possible for communities to overcome their internal strife? Girard believes that paradoxically, the problem with violence is frequently solved with a lesser dose of violence. When mimetic rivalries accumulate, tensions grow greater. But that tension eventually reaches a paroxysm when
What's
violence,
that?
literally a spasm. That we're all about everything's about to fall apart. We all want the same thing. We're all fighting with each other. So when violence is at the point of threatening the existence of the community, very frequently a bizarre psychosocial mechanism arises. Communal violence is all of a sudden projected on a single individual. As people that were formerly struggling now unite efforts against someone chosen as a scapegoat. That's key to Girard's model, is that you solve violence by picking a scapegoat, isolating that one, doing violence against the scapegoat, and now everybody goes back to their lives. Former enemies become friends, and they communally participate in the execution of violence against a specified enemy. Now, Girard is a Catholic, and he goes on to say, well, we've perfected that by choosing the Son of God as our scapegoat, but you don't have to go that far. Point out that it's an, you know, if all of us want the same thing, we end up in conflict, and that's the Erva. Evra, that Mishle is talking about, that the Tikvat Rasha'im is Erva, that what the Rasha'im want ends up in this anger, wrath, ends up in this violence. As the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar Kapar Omer, Akina Vatava Vakabod Adam Mina Olam. It's Kina here is Girard's mimetic desire. It's jealousy. It's not so much wanting what others have, which is chemda in Hebrew. That's lo tachmon. I can't want what you want, so I can take it from you. It's wanting what others want, and it's natural, right? The Yetzer Hara is a natural part of what we want. That's how we determine. That's part of being in society, is having similar wants, similar tastes. It's a statement of belonging. I really don't care what other people want, and I'm completely different, and I'm a sociopath. But you need to be conscious of it. Be aware of it, and don't let it lead to the violence. So the Malbim says about this, that when the Pasuk says, Tavat tzadikim, as you put it, Tavat tzadikim ach tov, that the desire of the tzaddik is only for good, where the tikva, the hope of the rasha, is evra. Yesh hevdel ben tava letikva. The difference between what we're translating as desire, tava, and tikva, the hope. Shemetaveh en lo shum yachol lasig et hadavar. That to want doesn't mean I'm going to do anything to get it. I realize I feel the want, but I don't have an expectation of actually getting it. Rakshut just to desire it. Avimekaveh, but to have hope. Kvar yesh lo ezeh yachol has some intention, some plan. Yasig et hadavar, they'll achieve it. So the tzaddik is what someone who can make this a tava. I have the desire. I know that I want what you want because that's who I am. But it's not tikva. I don't need to do anything about it. I can be aware of what I want and say, yes, I need to do it or not. And that will be aktov. So you be aware of your desires. And the famous Gemara in Bava Batra says, Kinat sofrim tarbe chachma, that the desire, the jealousy of sofrim, of scholars, increases wisdom. I see you want to learn more. I want to learn more, but that's good. I can channel that in good ways. So the Russia has this tab. It makes a tikva. I want that. And that leads to conflict. And that's why we end up with Evra and this kind of violence that you're asking. Next pasuk is talking about tzedakah. Pasuk Chaf Dalet is Yesh Mefazer V'Nosef Od. There are those who will scatter and will gather more. I can give away my money and become rich. But holding back from doing the right thing, achlo machsor, will only end up losing. And it's very similar to what Shlomo says in Kohelet, in Parak Yudal. It says, Shlach lacha macha al pnei amayim. Cast your bread upon the waters, ki barov hayamim timtzeena, after many days you'll find it. Ten chelek l'shivah v'gam l'shmonah, give 7 or 8, because you don't know what bad will come on the world. So be generous with others, because you're going to end up needing it. So that the yesh mefazer, there are those who can give away their money and end up profiting from it. And that's a good thing. We should definitely be generous, but it's only yesh. There are some who do. There's some who don't. There's those who scatter and profit. There are also those who do not profit from the generosity. And that's the idea of the golden mean, the shvil hazahav, that the Rambam says. And the way he puts it, the way the Rambam puts it in the Hilchot Deot. Don't be too stingy. Don't hold your hand back too much. And don't scatter your money. Even though he says, right, he says, yesh mezer. There are some points when you're scattering, you're giving it out, but not too much. Give tzedakah that you can afford to give, umalaveh, karoy lemisha tzarich, and lend as appropriate. Have some judgment, and fame, and the Gemara says about this, Eliyah, Beusha, in Usha, they made a takana, a decree, umalazbez, if you're literally it's wasting, but you're giving tzedakah, alivazbez, don't give away more than 1/5 of your property. We talk about giving a tenth. You want to be really generous? Don't give too much away. The Brisa says too, if you're giving it away, don't give away more than 1/5 of what you have, lest you end up needing public funds as well.
Danny, a fifth is 20%. That's a lot.
That is a lot. Okay, right. That's saying you want to be really generous. Like I said, we normally talk about giving away 10%.
Yeah.
You're tithing your master of income. This is twice as much. So don't go more than that. And the Malbim makes that point. When he talks about Yesh Mefazer, there are those who give away and Vinosaf and end up profiting. Rami B'Yana Chachamim, the Chachamim have already explained, Shetovla, you should take the middle path. It's good to choose the middle path. That's the Rambam. So generosity is the middle path between prasannu, between being profligate, being just giving all everything away, bekliut, and stinginess. Neither of those are good. They shouldn't give away more than getting your 20%. And so the way most people think about it, and if you're going to go for one extreme or the other, you're better off being more stingy than being more profligate. Because one, if you give away too much, you got nothing. Give away all of your wealth. And then someone who's stingy at least will yishmor et mamona, will at least have his money. Right? Not any nice person, but at least he'll be able to survive. So someone here is saying, no, your priority should be more generous. If you're going to lean in one direction, give more away. Himafazelo tamid maved mamona. Giving away doesn't always lose money. Because sometimes you can actually profit from it. Because then other people, wealthy, will know who you are, and people will be more likely to be generous with you. And will trust you. And then you'll be able to, your wealth will increase if you're known as a generous person. The other people will trust you. They'll do business with you. So that's what it means to get to scatter, to give it away, and then up getting more. But holding back from doing right, because you're by being stingy, that ends up losing. Because by being stingy, but sorry, I know I'm being ungenerous, being too frugal. Other people are just not going to associate with you. No, but ain't no 70 and no one's going to do business with you, and you end up losing money. And also meets that onshe Hashem, and also just by not being generous, Hashem's not going to be generous with you. And from a religious perspective, you'll get poorer.
You could get what?
Poorer.
I mean,
Okay.
isn't there a whole thing in the Torah that says, don't turn your brother away?
Yes. Exactly. That's what we're saying, is that's from a religious perspective, Hashem will reward you if you give it away. And also he's adding this a practical perspective.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and even just from my whole interest is in making more money, but being too stingy, not being generous, can end up hurting that. So other people aren't going to deal with me. So Shlomo continues saying the same kinds of thing. Nefesh bracha tadshen, a generous soul will literally become fat, will gain, umaraveh, and one who waters, gamhu yireh, will also be watered. Metaphorically, I water other fields, mine will be watered. I'm generous with others, people will be generous with me. When I buy people holding back produce, then the people will curse. It's one where the people will curse one who holds back their produce. Bracha the Rosh Mashbir, and a bracha will come to the head of that who is providing for others. Someone who seeks good in other, for others, yivakesh ratzon, can ask for good for himself. The reish ra'ah tovenu, and if you seek evil, again implied for others, tovenu will come on to your own head. Boteach ba'osho yipol, so someone who is secure in their own wealth will end up falling. Ukalat tzadikim yafrichu, and the righteous will flower like leaves. We'll look at that metaphor in a moment. So the bottom line is you need to be in this derech mimotza, the middle path, not too generous, not too stingy. But most people need to be reminded to be more generous, right? Tend toward the generous side. And again, that's so most appealing to selfishness, to encourage the generosity. That if you do this, then you're going to do well. You're going to make more money. He's not saying this to be good because Hashem wants it. But that's okay, right? We say mitoch shelo lishma b'lishma. You're doing it not for the right purpose, but doing the right thing for the wrong reason is a good thing.
What's the wrong reason?
the way he's looking at it, the person who's being generous here is doing it so that they can make more money. He's telling
Oh, they're doing it because they feel they'll be rewarded.
right. And that may not be
That's
ideal. You said,
the wrong reason to do a chesed.
yes, but it's still better to do the chesed.
It's still better, but it'd
Right.
be better if you did it for the rest of it.
I know. If you're generous, then that's a huge step in the right direction. You know, we'll worry about your reasons for it later.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Mitosh lo lishma balishma. You're not doing it for its own sake. We'll get there. See, Or Chor Chaim adds as a spiritual prophet as well to this side of it. You know, just the act of being generous has spiritual reward to it. This is your Or Chaim dasha ametne b'makom she'ruya. A matana, that giving gifts, giving away where it's appropriate, going to tzedakah, like giving tzedakah to the poor. Ota matana, that gift, he matmon safun. This is a buried treasure. She'en nevet, it will never be lost by arichut yamim for all the days. That's an investment. Achi omeret kol yamim, it will last. Zu karat shlomo melech ol hashem. This is what Shlomo meant when he says, shlach lach mechal pnei mayim. Cast your bread upon the waters, kivarov hayamim tims ena, because you'll get it back after many days. Don't worry about losing money when you're being generous. Upsha pasuk diber al nedivut, and pshat of that is talking about being generous. Misha zorei chesed, you're basically sowing kindness. Kotzer tevuato, you will reap the benefits of that. You'll do okay in the end. Someone who has that quality, who's generous, will become rich. It says, "Yesh mefazer v'nosef od." That's our pasuk. And say, it'll say later on in Mishlei Perek Chaf Chet, "Noten l'rash ein machzar," giving to the poor will not cause a loss. Mar David Hashim and Divim, and David says about generous people, "Pizer natan l'avyanim," as we said, the pizers, spreading out, scattering. To giving away your money to the poor, tzedakah, your tzedakah, your generosity lasts forever. You will get that reward there. And I like quoting the Orchot Tzedakim. Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay, it's a fascinating sefer. It first appeared in the 15th century. It's completely anonymous. This is Gill students' article on that. Orchot Tzedakim is an anonymous Musar sefer that has enjoyed a lasting impact on Judaism. It's surprising that the sefer was never attributed to anyone. Publishers and men of letters usually guess the author's name of anonymous sefer. Even if they're wrong, you always try to figure it out, but no one has any idea where this came from. Orchot Tzedakim draws heavily on earlier sources, often quoting them verbatim. While today this would be considered plagiarism, those times of hand copy manuscripts, the standards of attribution were different. And just a side note, the scholars trace the origin of the constantly evolving sense of authorial ownership. You can't plagiarize to the 18th century. But it quotes lots of things, and he specifically, in the article, tries to pin it down. Quotes Balei Tosfot, quotes sources from up to the 12th century, and it first appeared in the 15th. It must have come out at some point in there. We can say it was certainly the author lived in or after the early 14th century. He was influenced by the German Hasidim. He was a follower of the French Balei Tosfot, the grandchildren of Rashi. He suggests the author lived in late 14th century in France among French exiles, but not in Germany or Spain. What I thought was interesting was Micha Berger's comment on this, that the author of the Orchot Tzaddikim was probably a woman. And you can look at his comment on there for his reasoning there, that the statements that are quoted are nearly all ones that enter common parlance. It was early translated to Yiddish as a common vernacular rather than being in a Hebrew sort of thing, really read it by common people. In a culture where a man is expected to master Shas, the author doesn't prove his credentials as an expert in Talmud. The topic was one being neglected by men at the time, which could be an argument that it was by a woman for women, or his attempt to break through that neglect. The anonymity is not startling among Musar books. It would be mandatory for women trying to publish then and there, that's probably the reason for the anonymity. That's an interesting question, whether this was, and we kind of point out that, you know, men learn Shas and women learn Musar, was certainly true in the 13th, 14th century as well. I learned Torah like a woman. Proud to do it. Tzaddikim may have been such a sefer. So he and we're getting back to Mishlei. The section ends with the idea of Boteach Osho Yipol, someone who depends on their own wealth will end up falling. Yivachalat Tzaddikim Yifrochu, that the tzaddik will flourish like a leaf, and he's making a point there about wealth. What's the nature of a leaf? It falls off. You're not dependent on the wealth. This is the Gemara talks about this. Rabbi Elazar Kapara Almidazu, that a person should always pray not to get this, which in the context Rashi says, not to become poor. Shame no, that if you end up don't end up being poor, your children will. Ben benoba. If not your children, then your grandchildren. No matter how rich you are, there's a cycle that says, that was your point. That was good. The Torah says you should naton titain, definitely give to the poor.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad in your heart when you give. The other one, ki biglala devar, and literally because of this reason that Hashem gave you the wealth. But they're making a midrashic pun on biglal as a sense of Gilgal cycle. Galgal hushachos. Wealth is a cycle. Comes and goes. At some point, you're going to be on the bottom of the wheel. So be generous with others, so others will be generous with you. And the Gemara says about our pasuk that the tzaddik will flourish like a leaf. About tzaddikim lahem, that should be osher. None. Now for a tzaddik, wealth is rakala, it's like a leaf, shalilan, but ain't no ikar. It's not the important thing. And what happens with leaves? Leaves fall off in the winter. But they come back and grow back the next year. That's how you should feel about your wealth. It'll come back. Don't be too attached to it. Even if they lose, their wealth falls like a leaf. You have your frichu that will come back. That's the message here. So don't be too stingy. Be generous because wealth is a temporary thing. That's up to Pasuk Chaf Chet. Pasuk Chaf Tet now turns to family. Ocher Beito Yanchil Ruach. Someone who troubles their household will inherit the wind. The Eved Avil HaChacham Lev, and the fool will be a slave to the wise. Okay, translate that. Who makes trouble for his household to inherit the wind. And this ocher really means to muddy the waters. Maima Karimer, muddy waters, and the idea of what you do your household comes from Yaakov when he complains after the incident with Sodom, where Shimon and Levi wipe out the whole city over Dina. Yaakov says to Shimon and Levi, "Achar temoti, you have troubled me in this sense. You've made my life difficult. Lavi sheni b'yosheba aretz, you've made me look bad. You made me smell bad." To the natives of the land, Bakani Baprizi, Bar, and there's only a few of me. They're going to gather against me, Bikuni, they'll attack me and destroy me and my family. Don't be Ocher Beto. Don't make life difficult for your household. And I just note the expression of who troubles his household inherits the wind. You know the play Inherit the Wind? That sound familiar?
It was a movie, no?
It was a movie too, yeah. Originally a
I
play.
don't know if I saw it,
About the Scopes Monkey Tribe, by
but. Oh,
teaching evolution.
yeah.
And it evidently.
I probably did see it.
Yeah. So the title though, try to figure out what the connection was. Evidently it comes from when Brady, who is the one defending teaching evolution, he admonishes the reverend who's going all biblical about it. You can't deny the Bible, with a Bible quote for alienating his daughter when he gives a fiery sermon against him. You will end up inheriting the wind. Not in the sense of trouble, but inherit the wind in the sense of you inherit nothing. Well, you eliminate, you isolate your family. And I had to ask my friendly AI to summarize the title here. So, Microsoft Copilot here. AI is getting more useful for this kind of search thing. I tell you, for last week's Chumash year, I asked it a question about for a source, and it lied the first time or hallucinated the first time. I said, no, that's not right. So apologizes and then hallucinates another source. By the fourth time, it actually found the real one. So something like this about it. It says that title reflects the consequence of courting discord and conflict within one's community society. That's what he translates as the Ochre Byte. When in context of the play, that those who stir trouble by resisting progress will gain nothing but emptiness and chaos. That's the inherit the win. It's used in the sense of Hevel and Kohelet. Right, Hevel means a breath, and Ruach here is the same sense if it's a passing wind, no permanence. Right, don't just if you end up not if you end up I alienating your family, you will inherit nothing. Which may be good advice if you've got a rich uncle, but presumably this is a metaphor here. The same for Mishlo, so Malbim takes metaphorically that Beito Ocher Beito refers to your own life. And this is the Malbim. Ocher Beito, someone who troubles his house. Ma'aretz literally is Ma'aretz Sidrei Beito, Mashkei Love, someone who destroys the way the house is set up and ends up destroying his furniture. Marbeh Hotzotav ends up spending more money, Yoter Me'Yacholet, more than he can afford. Lo Yosher B'Yado, Ma'al L'Nechol, and he will end up having nothing to bequeath. So Yachil Ruach is saying is you will pass on to your children, only Rin, Lanchil, Kibayit, Vahon, Nachlat Avot, because your household is inherited from your ancestors, Vyan Kil Ruach will end up passing on nothing if you destroy your own household. Mashal, and this is all a metaphor, on the Bayit HaMilitzi, to the rhetorical, the metaphoric house, to Beit HaNefesh Be'amonata. It's the house in which your soul lives and dwells. Your life and your body and your life, this the way you live your life. That's the bayit here in the Mishle. That says that Mishle in Perek Chavdalet is going to say, "B'chokhmah yivneh bayit," with wisdom you will build your house. Again, this metaphoric sense of you set up your life, "B'tvunah yikonan," you establish it with understanding, and then "B'dat chadarim yamu kolhon," and then the rooms will be full of all sorts of treasures, yakarv im. You'll have nice stuff in your house if you build it with wisdom. That's again a metaphor for living your life. That the wisdom, the rules, the heuristics of wisdom that you're gathering within your own nefesh, how to act, and with all of your midot, all the characters of your life. And whatever happens to you, the tov or ra, whether it's good or bad, who binyan abayit? That's means to build that house. You're building your life. It's like building a house. You get all the raw materials and you put it together. And so your wisdom is getting the raw materials, and tevunah understanding is how you put them all together. You'll see devar midavar, and you'll figure out new things. You'll have built a strong structure that should stand up. Sounds like the metaphor for the three little pigs here, right? You want to build your house out of bricks. It's a metaphor for wisdom. And you'll knowing things clearly, midot, whether in personal characteristics, talokit, or in spiritual matters, yimsa beit nafsho, and you will find the house of your soul, the life that you're living, the kelim yikarim, we have nice furniture, but not him, and they'll all match. While a Rasha mistapek b'chei chokma yicholok elahem, but a Rasha is someone who doubts all these rules of chokma that we've been talking about, disagrees with them, as yanchil ruach ba'aved. Then all will inherit the wind, and here it's not so much a breath that goes away, but it's the storm. Sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. And you'll end up losing all these valuable tools. which are these rules of Chachman Musar, Yishar Tachteyam, Hevel Ruach, end up with vanity, nothing. Ruach HaSo'er, and this is the storm, Malet Tavot, and you'll come with all the desires in your heart and have no control over them. Yigaba Arba Pinot, they'll end up spreading throughout your metaphoric house, Vishi, and destroy it. You need wisdom to build your metaphoric house, and if you don't, until the end of that pasuk is, and there, Eved Avil Chachamlev, that the fool ends up being a slave to the wise one, because the fool ends up having nothing. Mizeh Hutzian, and this so explains the tenor, the metaphysics of the expression Ki Eved Avil Chachamlev, that the fool end up serving the wise. The definition of Chacham Lev here is someone who rules over their own passions. That's called the Lev. Moshel Chachma. Someone who thinks that in terms of wisdom, acts in terms of the wisdom that he knows without turning aside. The metaphor has his house full of all sorts of stuff, but the fool, Mimena, was the opposite. He has no sense of doing the right thing, no sense of chachma. Ends up being poor, and end up owing everything to the wise. Like a literally poor person, who needs to work for the rich. So, build your life every step of the way by doing the right thing. And the next pasuk is has a kind of a new point here that we've up to now we've taken chacham, the wise, and tzaddik as near synonymous. Mishlei, book one is all about chachma, knowing the right thing, and tzaddik is when it does the right thing in book two, but they're not exactly the same. As Mishlei says here, pri tzaddik es chayim, the fruit of the tzaddik is a tree of life. Lokech nefashot chacham, and the wise person gathers souls. What does that mean? This is the Malbim. Hatzadik hu mishtamesh b'chuchya chachma sod tzedek. The tzaddik is someone who uses the chachma, wisdom, to do good, for the right thing, to do tzedek, for poel, in actuality. V'chol misha osev chuchya chachma v'rotav al yedei limud. And a chacham, in this sense, someone who learns. Not necessarily does the right thing, but who knows all the right things. Someone who's learning as opposed to doing. So which one's better? So here, so in this mashal, the tzaddik is an etz chaim. It's a tree of life that continually produces more fruit. Ma pri, and what is that fruit? Is malayhem, the good deeds, shem polim yotzot mitochnot hanafshiyot, that the mitzvot, the good deeds that one does from starting from the spiritual base. Ochel pri hazeh, ochel pri es chayim, and eating that fruit is like eating from a tree of life. She'ochel meno chay le'olam, chay nefesh, that you'll live forever. So the tzaddik produces fruit. The lokech nefashot gets followers. The wise person gets followers. We have that. We saw that by Abraham. That's before Lech Lecha, right? Before he gets called to go to Eretz Canaan, he has been an evangelist. The pasuk says that by Kach Abraham et Sarai ishto, so Abraham, when he's going to Canaan, takes Sarai, his wife, Lo ben Achiv, Lo his nephew, and Kol Ruchosham, all their property, Asher Rachshu, that they acquired, but a nefesh Asher Shuba Charan, and the souls they had made back in Haran, and as Rashi says famously, Shehikni san tachat kafei Hashchina. All of his cult, all the people that he had brought to serve Hashem. Avram Megayat HaNashim, Usar Megayat HaNashim. Avram converted the men, Sarah converted the women. Malahem Gatuv Ki Ilu Asa'um. So Asu, that's like the Hashem, Avram made them. That's Lokeach Nefashot, gathering souls together. That's a Chacham. Shlomo is saying, with Rambam was reading it, that's enough, not enough. Book one of Shlomo is about learning Chachma. Book two, what we're doing now is about being a tzaddik. Do the right thing. But he said, being generous, not speaking ill of others, because that's the only thing that lasts. Simply knowing the Chachma is not going to last. This is the Pirkei Avot. There we go. Leo Omer, the which town was that? Nine. I should know that. Who's the who? Hanani ben Dosa, yeah. Would say, Kosha Ma'asa Mrubi Mechachmato, Chachmato Mitayemet. If your good deeds are greater than your wisdom, then your wisdom is gonna last. The Chachma will last. Kosha Chachmato Mrubi Me'asa, but if your Chachma is more than the actual mitzvah that you're doing, Ein Chachmato Mitayemet, then that Chachma is not gonna last. It's not an Eitz Chaim, and we see that Avraham's Nefesh HaShu B'Charan were lost to history. When Avraham comes with all these people, but we have no idea. They're gone. Rabbeinu Bachya says this, and he's looking at the Pesukim. What a comment. That shouldn't be there. I actually wrote this. Wait a minute. Oh, look over here. Abraham. This is talking about Yitzchak living in the land of the Plishtim, and that the Plishtim filled all the wells that Abraham had dug. And Yitzhak had to go dig new wells there. And then Rabbi Bachya says that's a metaphor. That these, for those who say that these wells that were filled is a metaphor for the Gerim, for all the converts, all the people that Avram had brought in under the into the fold. That Avram had converted. That they accepted the faith at a superficial level, like a well that's easy to, that water easily comes in, but it's easy to dry up. Opening the heart is like digging a well. So the Plishtim sealed them up. They blocked off, they stopped up the wells of all these converts. They all went back to their foolishness that ended up. They didn't stick around. That was being a chacham. So the Torah of Abraham is lost. The Gemil Chasadim, they'll last forever. And that's what Hashem says. Because I know about Abraham that he will command his household and his children. Not so much of the learning, not the theology, but it's lasot tzedakah u'mishpat. That is going to go on. Manavi Hashem al Abraham and Asher Yidiber Alav. That's what's going to let Hashem fulfill the promise to Abraham. And now I need to figure out what happened to my comments. I thought I saved them. I wrote them all just now. Really save it. No. Well, that makes me very. Nope. So, when I wrote this.
What happened? You lost your notes?
Well, yeah, he was. You see where it says insert intelligent comment here?
Yeah.
I actually
Right.
wrote something to put in that spot. I didn't mean to leave that there. But to say what we're how we're going to finish it. Okay, but the last pasuk in the parak is En tzaddik ba'aretz yishalem, that the tzaddik will be paid back in the land. Af ki rasha v'chote, and certainly a rasha. And a sinner will be paid back. So either way, even if things look like they're going with the tzaddik v'ra'lo, rasha v'tovlo, eventually justice will be served. The Mefarshim do make the point that Yishalem refers to punishment as well. Tzaddik will get punished in this world. No one's perfect, and they'll get their due, but the rasha will also. Don't lose faith. We know how to be a tzaddik. Talked that up in the before about being generous, and the previous talking about saying the right things, and all this whole thing about being the tzaddik, and that's the important part because in the end, it will pay off. And I guess we'll stop here. And I think we're off for a couple of weeks. Let me know when you guys come back. Have a great Pesach preparation time and a wonderful Pesach.
Thank
You too.
you. You're here for Pesach, everybody
We are
coming
here for
in.
Pesach, where I am doing my daily Costco shopping.
You've already started?
Oh, yes. And then
Oh.
by next week, you'll be twice daily. And as soon as the shopping gets to me more than 5 minutes apart, it's time to have Pesach.
How many people are coming in?
Sorry to start crying. Think about that when she heard your question. We have, let's see, Leah's coming in for the whole Yontif.
Nice. Good.
Lior's coming in for all of Yontif. Chai's coming in for last days. Sivi's coming in for last days. My brother's coming in for first days. My sister's
Yes.
coming in for last days.
Wow. That's
Everybody
impressive.
and their uncle are coming at some point.
You are going to be cooking a lot.
Oh, great. Now she just started crying even more.
I didn't mean her. I meant you, Danny,
I
not
know
Sarah.
that. I know that. I'm just not crying.
You've got it all under control. You're very
That's right.
organized.
We had it planned out. We'll be okay. I think I'm going to stop
Stop
the recording here.
the video.